From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch.
Well, our next guest, Danelle Umstead, tells us that being a female in sports is tough. It's even more challenging for a disabled woman in sports. Danelle is a visually impaired alpine skier, and during the time she was competing, she was fortunate to find a small group of women and girls who fiercely supported each other throughout all these challenges. Now, as she has witnessed disabled sports growth over the years, she has noticed the community for women and girls is fading. There's minimal support, and there's a need for more collaboration between athletic women with disabilities. She joins us to tell us her story and to discuss her new foundation, the Sister in Sport Foundation. She has co-founded with Bonita Hutchison, sorry, Bonita, who also joins us. Danelle, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us on today.
Great to have you, and good morning to you, Bonita.
Good morning.
Danelle, let's start with your story, which is such a wonderful story. And I think because maybe you haven't been competing recently that I've heard of, I love to go back to, you know, just taking us through how you came to be a visually impaired alpine skier and make your way to several Paralympic Games.
Absolutely. I learned how to ski in northern New Mexico. And I met my future husband, Rob Umstead, when I was in northern New Mexico. And he was offered a job here in Park City to work for the able-bodied ski team, the Park City ski team. And he asked me to go with him. So he and I moved here. And when I moved here, I learned about the National Ability Center, which is the best organization that ignited my dream and my excitement to become a Paralympian. And when I was here, I learned how to race. I went through several guides here. I ski visually impaired. I started at the age of 29. Everybody thinks that's crazy. I started at the age of 29. And by the time I was competitive and working with the National Ability Center, I was in my 30s, and everybody thought it was impossible that not the National Ability Center, don't get me wrong, they believed in me, but most people thought it was impossible that a woman my age could become a Paralympian, more or less medal in three games, you know? So I had a great guide, Sally Tauber, here locally that moved me up the ranks and was an amazing guide, and we skied with the National Ability Center. And then next thing you know, I'm needing to train at a world-class level, and I needed somebody that could guide me full-time. And Sally had children to raise and things that were already on her plate. And my husband ended up quitting his job and guiding me full-time. And together we have represented our country at three Paralympic Games, winning three bronze medals and many awards. And this past year, Rob and I were skiing in Canada, and I broke my tib fib. So I haven't been competing in the last year, but I've been training. During COVID, I wasn't competing. I guess that's the best time to break your leg. But I'm back training with the National Ability Center, and hoping to go to one more Paralympic Games to represent my country and show people, no matter what your age, your ability is, that anything's possible.
Oh, yes. Well, you certainly have proved that anything is possible already. For those who haven't seen you ski race or videos of you ski racing and how it is done between you and Rob. And by the way, any time that I've brought this up with people, they say, can you imagine having your husband telling you when to turn? And
right.
That would be terrible, but you guys make it work.
I speak all over the world, and that is what I get 90% of the time. You actually let your husband do that? He's the boss on the slope, and when we get home, I'm the boss. So we have it figured out.
Sounds equitable.
We do it together very well. So how it works is Rob and I ski as a team, obviously, because he's my eyes. He skis in front of me and guides me down the mountain with voice cues. He's not saying right, left. He's more saying, like, what he would be thinking as a ski racer. Like, when to start his turn, when to move off the ski, coming onto a pitch or a jump, when to get in my tuck. And then he's also calling out combinations if it's a speed race, corridors, if it's a slalom race, he's calling out hairpins and flushes, and so it's a lot of work. I mean, everybody thinks it's amazing what I do, but I think it's amazing what he does. He does this at speeds up to 70 miles per hour, turning around, making sure I'm in his pocket, telling me what's going on. He's the incredible one.
Well, that is amazing. But what is, I imagine, you have to have an efficient communication strategy. You can't, there's no ums in this. There's no like, turn, maybe. What does that look like? What does
right.
it sound like?
There's no pauses either, because sometimes when he pauses, I'm like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be just a split second, and he pauses, and he's trying to figure something out, but I know that something is out of the ordinary. And it takes trial and error, you know? It's all about communication and trust. And we all have to do this in life and business and sport, is have a clear line of communication. And if that communication at any time is veered off, we need to redirect it and refocus. And so we're always training. I mean, we've never had anything perfected. Once we think it's perfected, it's changing. So we're always having new strategies, working together, and trying things out, trying new things, and also failing at times, but you can't succeed unless you fail.
Well, there seems to be a theme for you, and that is an adapted life. You know, someone, you seem to be resilient and to face these challenges, and while they're not always easy, you know, have the courage and the determination to persevere. And one of the things that sounds like you're bringing to the table is to encourage others to face those fears and those adaptations in life. Share with us a little bit on why you're so passionate and wanted to start the Sisters.
Yes, Sisters in Sports Foundation has been a dream of mine since the beginning. At the National Ability Center has been such a huge part of my life and so many lives here in the Park City area and beyond. I feel like I could help women and girls beyond that emotionally, mentoring them, helping them find their voice and their passion. And what's most important to me is making a community of women and girls with disabilities that we have somewhere to go. We have each other to hold on to. I'm all about heart and mentorship, and it's part of me. I'm just a born mother. Like, that's all I love to do is mom, and besides ski racing, of course. And I reached out to Benita and I told her my passion of how I wanted to bring girls together and support them and collaborate with them and build them up and, you know, be a promotion, like, to help even the National Ability Center. They might have some girls, that are really ready to take the next step, but they need funding or they need the mentorship. And we would just want to enhance and sister up with amazing organizations like National Ability Center and create a lifelong community for women and girls in disabled sports to empower these girls and to help them believe in themselves and inspire them to live their impossible every day.
It would seem to me that with these adaptive sport programs growing across the country, and we know we have, you know, I would like to call it the flagship adaptive sport program here with the National Ability Center. Certainly it's one of the foremost. You would think that we would have more and more young girls in sport, in disabled sport or adaptive sport. But you're saying that that's not really the case, or at least you're just not seeing a lot of support. And that actually surprises me, because it seems as we go through the years, we have lots of destigmatization campaigns, whether it's for, you know, otherly abled people or, you know, mental health or these sorts of things. So why do you think it is so, or why do you find this void?
You know, being a female athlete myself in the sport of alpine ski racing, the support's not there. If you look at the numbers of how many girls versus men that go to the Paralympic Games, it's huge. I'm feeling like I've seen, and I've tried to mentor as many as I can, but I'm one person, and that's why I want to create this community. And I reached out to Benita to help me do this, is that I've seen girls get so excited about it, but then the funding and, you know, the support that you need, I had to figure it all out myself. And I try to help everybody, but I'm one person. And the support you need, the resources you need, the National Ability Center is an incredible organization, but they can't do everything either, you know? So I think it's because, one, people get excited and they want to do this, but it costs a lot of money. Mm. I mean, for me as a visually impaired ski racer, I had to pay for myself and my guide. We're not just one person, we're two people. I didn't have a lot of women who supported me. I found Stephanie Victor, who most people know here in Park City. When I moved here, she supported me, and I had told her about what I'm doing, and she said, you know, there's nothing else like that out here. And it's true. We don't have a support for women with disabilities, where we're supporting each other, building each other up. And I think that if we have that and we ignite that passion in all women across the board, able-bodied or disabled, lifting these women up with disabilities and encouraging them and empowering them, I think that we will have more people involved in sport.
And I love the illustration. I mean, the word sisters in sport, you know, it definitely resonates, but it also resonated for me for in construction, when you sister joists, you tie two boards together to support each other to achieve a larger load capacity. And so, Benita, we're happy for you to join us, because you're sistering alongside Danelle and this project. And share with us a little bit about your role and your passion in this project.
Sure. So, you know, first of all, Danielle came to me, and how do you say no to Danielle? I think she's just one of the most amazing women that I know. And I have an extensive background in developing nonprofits and sort of really outlining strategic programming, filling in sort of the needs of the community. And so I come to Danielle with an expertise as far as getting the nonprofit set up. And most of my work has been in the disability advocacy areas. I've worked for Special Olympics. I was executive director of One Revolution, Chris Waddell's foundation. So I've been working in the disability community for a very long time. And, you know, I really loved what Danielle is doing with her vision, and being able to really help her streamline a program that was able to fill gaps within the community was something that really excited me.
That's nice to hear. And I'm just wondering, Benita, what you find to be so rewarding. I mean, I can only imagine being with Chris Waddell on Mount Kilimanjaro when he was doing his epic climb on his hand cycle, and just seeing these athletes who are overcoming such great adversity, you know, Danelle to be a visually impaired skier, yet go running gates and skiing faster than most of us do who have perfect vision. But talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah. So I think for me, I saw a community of people who, when I would say, oh, Chris broke his back, they would say, oh, like, that's that's too bad. And I'm like, no, like, he's living a far better life, and Danielle's blind, and she lives such a full and fantastic life. That for me, it was like, we need to get the stories out there about people who are living, facing challenges, regardless of what those challenges are, whether they're physical disabilities, intellectual disabilities, that are living full and happy lives. And then a lot of times living far better lives than able-bodied people, because they are so grateful for what they're able to do. And so to be able to ignite a community of women that are really living their best lives is something that I was really, really excited about. And having those be women with disability was even more exciting to me.
Mm. That's so nice. Back to you, Danelle. I also have to just point out, because I saw it a few weeks ago, you were invited on Dancing with the Stars. And first of all, I'm so envious. Wouldn't it be so fun? I don't even know how many hours or weeks you train for that, but what a blast. And it was just wonderful to see you with your partner just marvelously careening across the dance floor and making it look really easy. Tell us a little bit about that.
That wasn't easy at all. I was invited in 2018, season 27, to be the first ever blind contestant on Dancing with the Stars, and it was amazing. Artem Chignestev, I always say his name wrong, but he was he won last season, but he was my coach, and together we had to come up with our own plan if we were going to succeed at all. And it was trial and error, because nobody's ever done this before. So together we kind of came up with a plan. Sometimes he would tap his fingertips across my hand to simulate the steps. Or at other times he would speak into a voice recorder the steps that we would do for our dance. And so when he left rehearsals, I would stay in the studio alone and listen to his voice as I kind of moved my mind through the steps. I mean, we definitely had a lot of situations, but I was not at all prepared for the day of the show, when on the set, when the strobing lights happened, because I hadn't trained for that. And I have a little bit of vision. I have no central vision and no peripheral vision, so I have little spots in between. So things moving make me very nauseous. Mm. Can't believe that. I danced and I ski raced. That doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah.
So, but what got me the most was the clapping and cheering of the crowd. And they would clap and cheer very loud at a very pivotal moment, and the studio would shake and rumble, and I would miss a step. Like, I missed a step twice because of that. So Artem and I figured out after two dances, like, oh, we need to do something when we know they're going to start clapping and cheering. So we would keep me still. And so it was a great and amazing process. But best of all is I told them I wanted to dance to one song. And it's my favorite song in the entire world. And maybe we can play it after the show. Mm-hmm. It's Rise Up by Andra Day. And I listen to this song every day of my life. And it picks me up. It motivates me. And it makes me stronger. And it helps me not give up. Because for me, music creates me a picture, and for this song just resonates in my heart and in my soul and through my body. And I was able to dance my very first dance to Rise Up by Andra Day, and it was beautiful. It was an amazing experience.
I'm going to go on after the show and watch on Dancing the Stars, watch some more videos of you skiing, and then listen to Rise Up so that I can catapult my day into success. You have done an amazing job of finding partners or people in your career and in your personal life to catapult you to success. And I love that in your program, in the Sisters in Sport, there's the first part is mentoring. And
right.
I guess to have Bonita share a little bit about, you know, why is that the first component of the programs?
Well, I would say, from a perspective where Danielle came in when we started formulating the program, that was really one of the most important things to her. So it really became sort of the pillar of the program, and creating a community where girls and women who want to become involved in sport have someone to lean on, someone to encourage them, to pick them up when they fall, to share with them experiences so that they don't feel alone as they venture into this, what for them is often uncharted territory. So really giving them a seasoned professional, someone who's been there, done that, so that they can go through the experience together and help them sort of navigate the uncharted territory.
It is uncharted territory, and you have a pioneer in you, Danielle, and I love the components that you share on your website. Ignite your inner flame, explore your passion, beware of kryptonite, and then champion your voice. Superwomen United. Which of those components was probably the hardest for you to really articulate and to really put to words in a curriculum?
For me, I mean, it all came from Sonita and I collaborating together. The mentorship program is huge for me. And if you go onto the website, and it's Sisters in Sports Plural Foundation .org. If you go to the website, you'll see a superhero theme in a lot of it. And my biggest part was when I found at an older age, which I explained before, when I found sport, it ignited my inner superpower. And I never knew it was possible. I grew up in a society when I was younger, there was not anything offered to me like the National Ability Center. My parents actually did not teach me how to live with my disability. They taught me to fight and try to find a cure and not accept it, which has helped me in many ways, but didn't help me the day that my life became a bit dark. You know, I felt lost and alone. And when I found sport, it ignited my passion. It brought out a part of me that I never knew was inside me. And so this superhero theme and this superhero mentorship of finding your superpower, I think we all can find that within ourselves.
So true. On your website, sistersinsportsfoundation.org, you highlight other superheroes, including Melanie Schwartz, who is a partial amputee. You talk about Patty Cisneros, who's a wheelchair basketball player. You look at Anastasia Pagonis, who's a blind Paralympic swimmer, and also Melissa Stockwell, who is a triathlete. And what a wonderful thing to highlight all of these women with all kinds of different challenges and adversities. And I bet you're just really collecting these stories. And what a way to empower other young women to say, hey, I can do it as well.
I hope so. I mean, that's the whole intention. And to, you know, have these women's lives changed. Like for me, when I joined the National Ability Center, that changed my life. Mm-hmm. That helped me realize that anything is possible. I mean, I had that passion inside me, but I needed somebody to lead me in the right direction. And the National Ability Center, still to this day, I mean, I'm still skiing with them. It's 2006. They support me and they believe in me and they encourage me, and they're an amazing program. And I want to help women, you know, get to the next step in their life or get to the National Ability Center, whatever it may be, whatever they need. I want to help them and provide them with that mentorship and empower them to find their superhero powers.
That's wonderful. Well, Benita, excuse me, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, we've identified a lot of really great women, but these women are also helping us create our mentor curriculum. Like, we're going to them and saying, what do you wish that you had as you were coming up through the ranks? What kind of support did you need? And as we develop the curriculum, really putting in place the gaps that were out there in the community, and in working with them to really develop a comprehensive community that helps girls long term.
It's wonderful. Again, it's sistersinsportsfoundation.org. You can go on, find more about the programs. If you're interested in donating, of course, this fundraising is a huge part of what you're probably doing. So you can offer scholarships and just to conduct your program. Any last words you want to leave us with, Bonita?
I would just say, you know, we're really excited. We launched the nonprofit on International Women's Day. Danielle is an absolutely amazing human being, and we're so excited to bring this program out to the community.
Wonderful. And Danielle, any last words from you?
Thank you, guys. I hope that we can empower more women. And if there's any young women and girls out there, Bonita and I actually put in our own funds to give the first scholarship. So go on there and sign up for a scholarship. And, you know, if you know of any women and girls that could use our support, we're reaching out to the community to help these women and girls.
Bonita Hutchison and Danielle Umstead, thank you so much for joining us on The Mountain Life. It's been great
having
you.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, take
care. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.